A healthy life starts with great sleep. Wake refreshed with Avocado's GOTS-certified organic green mattress, delivering breathable, back-loving support, natural materials from Avocado's own sustainable wool and latex farms, easy financing, a one-year sleep trial, and deep, restorative slumbers. Organic sleep awaits at avocadomattress.com.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Hello. We're starting this episode with a little bit of an insert.
Yeah. So I decided this week, we recorded this a couple weeks ago, and I did a story that features Los Angeles. And at the time, Los Angeles was not on fire when we recorded it. And it felt really bizarre to release this episode to you guys without acknowledging, you know, being that it's all about LA, without acknowledging the absolute heartbreak that we both have for everybody in Los Angeles right now. And, you know, I have two sisters that live in LA. They're all right. One of my sisters does live in Altadena, and she's seen a lot of friends lose their homes, a lot of neighbors. Her entire neighborhood really is decimated, including her kids' preschool. And it's just devastating. And so heartbreaking and overwhelming. Like, you can't really process
tragedy
you see one home gone in the news, and just trying to wrap your mind around that family's loss and all the things inside that meant something to them and that is a life that they built, and it's gone. And you try to wrap your mind around that, and then you're watching it 1,000-fold. You can't quite take it all in. It's devastating.
As of now, while we are recording this, the morning of January 10th, East Coast time, I don't think much of it is contained. I can say, just as a personal anecdote, most of the people that I know in LA, I would say the majority of people I've reached out to have had to evacuate. Everyone I've spoken to either is affected or knows someone personally who has been affected.
I imagine a bunch of you all live in Los Angeles, and that you're currently either not at your home listening to this, or you know someone that lost their home, or you lost your home, and our hearts just really go out to you.
I can't even the magnitude of it. I don't think we will know the full magnitude of it for a little while. I know people that have lost their entire home, it's just gone. And it's really tragic. And so we didn't want to put out an episode about LA without acknowledging it. There are so many resources if you feel helpless. I think, like a lot of us who are not in LA, if you feel helpless, there are so many places you can go and help. There's the American Red Cross. There's the Mutual Aid in LA. Just today, people have been posting GoFundMes for many, many families who have lost everything. And again, we won't know the full scope of it, but as of today, there are people that are already fundraising, trying to get money to get their life back on track. And I'm so terrified. I know a lot of insurance companies in Los Angeles have stopped covering fire as of January 1st. So people need help. So those are just a couple of resources, and we can put them in the bio. So thank you for listening. Help if you can. Look for the helpers for hope. Our thoughts go out to everyone affected in LA and to all of your loved ones and people and community. Enjoy this episode, and we'll see you next week.
So, you know,
we've been watching some intense movies with Koa. On this trip, we showed him Princess Bride. We showed him Ghostbusters. Some really big doozies. And I was thinking about how, like, to prepare Koa for watching movies even before they were such big blockbusters, we did have this conversation with him about the all hope is lost moment, so that he understood when things get really,
You're
really...
teaching your son save the cat?
When everything... But it's that feeling of, like, he needs to understand there's a formula for storytelling where there will be a moment in most movies where it seems like everything has gone to shit and it's terrifying for the main character, and that's what makes the turnaround
so sweet,
theatrical, and so sweet. Exactly. But it's been really helpful to him because kids can be so emotional about that that he'll turn to us sometimes during a movie and go, "Mama, is this the all hope is lost moment?" And I'll be like, "Yes." Wait, Matt just came in with my coffee. He's delivering me a cup of coffee. Thank you.
Happy anniversary. Tell him happy anniversary for me, will
Carrie says happy anniversary.
Hey, thanks. Hi, Carrie.
Hi,
you look
Matt.
Great. I'll be represented by a hand.
All right. Goodbye.
Nice to shake.
Thank you for my coffee.
Welcome.
That's such a good... I might steal that with my nephews.
Yeah, it's a really good thing because then he'll ask and we'll go, yes. And in his mind, he's like, I feel safe and I know what that means. But I do have to tell you something very funny, which was I've been running here sometimes in the morning and I'll leave early right after sunrise and I'll go for like an hour and come back. And the other day, Ko was like hugging me, kissing me. And he's like, oh, God, don't go. And I was like, it's just an hour, dude. And I have to work out. And he goes, Mama, when you go running in the morning, that is my all hope is lost moment. Isn't that good?
Wait, that's so good. For Christmas this year, I didn't know what to get. You know, I have a hard time. My family is so generous, so thoughtful with gifts. And I do feel really stressed. I think also because I'm the brokest of the broke. And I always feel like I need to buy love. And it's not them. That's a me thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I got my sister this, and it came yesterday, and I have to show you it because I'm so obsessed with it.
Oh my God. Very, very, very cute. I love that. It's a dear readers, it's a shirt that says Izzy and has pictures of their dog 1,000 times. It's like Lisa Frank meets Metallica is the vibe of the shirt.
Yeah. And I'm so glad with how it turned out. I think it turned out
it's
really
great.
Spectacular. I think it turned out really spectacular. So shout out to Etsy for a gift.
You've done it again.
And then I got my mom. And I'll tell you, because I think it should come, hopefully. And hopefully she won't listen to this episode by the time it doesn't come. But I got her. So what happened, my dad's obsessed with our little dog, Izzy. My sister's obsessed with little dog, Izzy. So I could get that for my sister. And for my mom, or more my dad, I was like, I should get him a golf shirt with an embroidered Izzy on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my dad, I don't think would totally wear that. But he loves my mom. And so if I got my mom a sweatshirt, it would make my dad happy because he could look at it. So I got my...
That's really roundabout and cute.
I got my mom an embroidered Izzy with her name established 2022 when she was born. And so I think it's like, I took a cute picture and I think they're going to like embroider it. So I think it'll be a cute little dog. That being said, I ordered it from this place. This is not an ad, okay? I ordered it from this place, petfiesta.com. I am a little nervous about it because they're going to... It says it was going to ship. It has not. And I didn't use... I had 15% off and I couldn't put the promo in. So I reached out to them after and I said, hey, can you credit me the 15%? And they go, we'll credit it to you when you receive the item. And it feels like I'm playing a really weird game of chicken where I'm like, well, when is it coming? And it hasn't given me a tracking number. I think it's coming from China. I don't know what's happening.
It'll come. They're on Etsy.
Pet Fiesta, not. Separate website.
Oh.
I think I fucked it. I think I got got.
We'll see. I think I got got.
The good news is it was on my credit card, so you can always file a little complaint.
You've had bad luck this year. Bad money luck.
I've had a lot of bad money luck. That's my New Year's resolution. No more money theft for Carrie.
Okay, great. I really want that for you.
Speaking of which, I talked to KK last night about our money. Mm-hmm. And my pitch is maybe we invite her on to tell the story with me.
Oh, that'd be really fun. I definitely think we should do that.
I think we should do that. And I think we should have a whole episode when it's time. A whole episode. Because I think I'm only one witness. I think we need two.
Definitely. I have a scary story for you that is wild. So, you know that Brianna and Josh were here, and Josh told this story about his friend where he's like, okay, my friend lives in New Jersey. There's a house in New Jersey where it's, I can't tell how everybody's related because I didn't know the story was going to be this good, so I didn't listen. Mm. But it's a family that lives in New Jersey. Podcast. It's a family, yeah. It's a family that lives in New Jersey, and the parents split up, and the dad has a bunch of stuff stored in the shed on their property, but no one really goes through it. And there's a little girl. I don't know if it's his friend's cousin, maybe, that lives there. And she always goes out towards the shed and wants to play, like, seems to gravitate towards going to the shed on the land. And it's a big shed. It's more like a barn. Anyway, she goes over there a lot and goes to play and stuff. And she talks. It looks like she's talking to people when she's over there, but she's not. She's often, like, waving to nobody. Definitely a kid connection to the shed in that very haunted way that you're, like, creeped by. Mm-hmm. And one day, the family's out, and the grandma's babysitting the little girl, and she starts to dance. This is just in the house. She starts to do, like, some wild little girl dancing that's really cute. So the grandma films it, and then when she's done filming it without watching the video, she just sends it to the parents and stuff, and everybody writes back that gets the video, what the fuck? Like, what is this? What are you doing? Like, I don't understand. And she's like, what? And when she goes to watch the video back, it's the video she shot of the little girl dancing, but all the audio seems to be gone, and all you can hear is a deep, slow-mo man's voice going, shed, 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 and this little girl dancing, and it's terrifying. He has the video, Josh does, and he showed it to me. I had a heart attack. I was like, this is so scary. And he said they were so freaked out they went to somebody that knows this stuff, like video, audio, whatever, to say, can you look at this file and tell us if it's layered with something? And he's like, no, this is original. This is it. Like, it's just the file. It's non-corrupted. This is just what was shot. Like, it doesn't have any layering. It is so scary. But
that's
then it was
terrifying.
Then it was great because Josh was showing his friend with his mom or something walking on the property at night, and he goes, mom, where are we going? And she goes, and she's like, what? And he's like, tell everybody where we're going. And she goes, oh, we're going to the shed. We're going to the shed. And they start to walk there. And then she's like, I can't do it. I want to go home. And he's like, no, we got to go, mom. And you got to show them. And she's like, oh, God, I'm scared. Are you going to run away from me? And it was like this whole video where she's being such a mom. And she's like, totally. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm terrified. I can't do it. And then they get to the shed, and she's like, that's as close as I'm going to get. You're not going to run away from me. And he's like, I'm just backing up so you can see the shed. And she's like, the shed. No, don't, though. Really, don't run away. I can't. Oh, my God, that's as close as I. God knows what's in there. We got to get out of here. I got to go. And it's like night, and it's snowing, and he's filming the shed. And when she walks away, he just like freezes on the shed for a long time. And it's like, snowy night, silent in the shed, and it's so scary. But that's it. But that's the whole story. But I'm like, oh my God, I would not live on a property where that happened. It is this, if to see this video, this little girl dancing, and you can hear this voice, unreal.
Was the video in slow-mo, or was the video
no
in...
But it sounds like the voices, like it's like deep and slow and scary and discordant.
I don't like that. I have notes. I do not like that.
Something's in that fucking shed.
Do you think, like,
there's got to be an unsolved murder related there's got to be a body. Something's going on. Somebody's not at rest. We got to go check the shed.
I'm not checking it out.
I can't myself. I'm so busy.
I'm so busy. I'm so busy.
Like, what is going to happen?
I still don't have a return flight home from Florida. I'm so busy.
What's your plan?
No clue, Quinn. Quinn?
You really don't know, like, at all?
No.
How long are your parents staying in Florida?
I mean, they're here until May. I'm not going to be here until May. I don't know. I mean, they go back and forth to Chicago. I'll come back mid-January, I don't know. I don't know what's happening in my life. And I feel a little bit like, you know what? It is what it is.
You love Naples. So here's the
thing. Here I am in Florida. I'm trying to reach out to the people across the aisle. This is me debating people in real time.
So bipartisan.
I'm so bipartisan.
Should we thank Kelsey?
Kelsey, you are a safe friend of ours because you pay us money. I don't know if that makes you a safe friend of ours because of money. I swear I think your heart is better than your wallet. What am I saying? I don't even know anymore.
Kelsey, what the hell, see, was this song? Kelsey, we really fell on our asses trying to sing a song that rhymes with Kelsey. Don't you see that we love you, even though we're failures? We love you, even though we're living in a trailer. That's not true.
We can't rhyme anything for shit today. Kelsey, do you live in Chelsea, New York, or do you live in Chelsea, London? Kelsey, you are the bestly. Do you like Halsley?
We're not going to get anybody to join Patreon anymore. We're doing such a bad job.
We're doing a terrible job. Kelsey, I'm so sorry.
Kelsey, quit Patreon. It's not worth it.
And then rejoin and we'll have a better song. That was a dress rehearsal.
This did not pass the smell test. Kelsey, what does your name rhyme with?
Kelsey, she just put in there testes. I don't think she tried to rhyme Kelsey with testy. And I don't think
it doesn't work.
It really didn't. I think Chelsea and Kelsey are the only things that I can think of. I sat and I said, Belsey, Helsey, Kelsey, Delsey, Felsey, Gelsey, Velsey, Wells, West.
Melsey, Wellsey, Pelsey. Nothing rhymes with Kelsey.
Nothing. You know what we could do? We could put it in ChatGPT, but I don't believe in it. I don't believe in taking good jobs away from us creatives.
Oh, like that, you don't believe in it.
I don't
believe in that. Oh, no, it's real. I've used it.
I don't believe in that ChatGPT. You know, it's just taking good jobs away from people like us.
You guys want to watch a spooky movie?
Oddity Shed.
Watch Shed. Scariest thing I've ever
watch
seen.
Watch Shed.
But it's over in about 2 minutes. Oddity, we watched the other night here, and I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to recommend it. It's got everything you want from a scary movie. Murder, ghosts, the whole nine yards. It's a load of fun.
Murder, ghosts, nine yards.
It's got it all. It's got everything you want in a scary movie. I had a blast because we watched a horror movie the next night that was
When did Koa look at you and say, "Is this the Dark Night of the Soul?" When did Koa look at you and go, "Is this all hope is lost?"
This is the all hope is lost moment. That video Shed is fully the all hope is lost moment.
Yeah.
The whole video is the all hope is lost moment. It is 1 2-minute all hope is lost moment.
What if he watches a movie, though, and he says, "Mama, is this the all hope is lost moment?" And you go, "No, exposition."
This is exposition. It can feel like all hope is lost because when there's a scene that's just exposition, all hope is lost for that writer.
Wait, was the all hope is lost, was that this podcast or the previous podcast?
This one.
Okay, good.
Everything's blending.
I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I don't know what I am.
Should we just tell stories at this point?
I need to tell a story. Okay, but you're going first.
Oh, I am. Oh, great. Mm-hmm. This is like a very recent story, but I read it from The Cut. It was a really good article by Justine Harmon, and I also went and checked out the case around it on justice.gov. I also read West Side Current and LA Times because this is an LA story. Remember LA Story with Steve Martin?
No.
It's an old movie. One of the main characters is Anthony Flores, who grew up in a lower middle class Mexican-American family in Clovis, which is outside Fresno. He was revolutionary. So he's like, I'm going to be successful at whatever I do because I'm charming as hell and I'm willing to work hard. And one of the first things he does is he opens a window washing business and he washes people's windows in fancy neighborhoods and he makes a ton of money. Then, this is so interesting that this is who this is. Okay. Then in 2005, he gets really embarrassed in his community because he's in the news. The reason that he's in the news is that his ex is in the news. His ex is Amber Frey or Fry. You know who that is? With the Petersons case. Like Lacey Peterson.
Like
Scott Peterson's girlfriend that he was like made that he like murdered his
girlfriend, his wife for, essentially.
Is Amber Frey. Amber Frey is also his ex-girlfriend, and the reason he's in the news is that when they start looking into
her
whole life, they're like, hold up. He's accidentally, 4 years, been having his wages garnished, and they've been going to her for child support. It's like an accident. But he's out. He's been out $175 every month for 4 years, and he hasn't noticed. So he
wait,
felt
do they
like,
have a kid together?
No.
So she has a child support claim on this guy.
Yeah.
And they don't have a child together?
Yeah. I don't know where the accident came in. Like,
well, the accident was
all
that
I know
it
is
wasn't
that,
an accident.
All I know
no
is that
child.
he looks doofy when it happens and he gets embarrassed. And because he's in the news about it and he just feels like he looks
in
stupid.
In relation to a murder. So, it's
so he's like, get me out of here. So he starts cultivating this persona, Anton David, and he's like, I'm going to become a hairdresser. And he goes to the Sassoon Academy and is Videl. Doing these wild, like, hairdressing. He'll, like, show up at your house in a suit to cut your hair, and he'll be like, how much do you think you should pay? It's
Pass.
Weird. It's...
Quinn, I think I should pay $10. Have a good one.
He goes to your house. You're going to be sad. And the woman that will become his girlfriend has also moved to L.A. They've both moved to L.A. He's doing the hairdresser thing. She's trying to become an actor. She's from the Bay Area. She went to Tisch. She went to RADA. She stars in this independent movie that's going to launch her career and then doesn't get picked up. So she moves to L.A. and lives with a boyfriend. But then the boyfriend catches her on the phone talking shit about him and basically being like, he has a cool place, but he's a loser on the phone. And he's
not
like,
great.
Hey, I'm in here. And she's like, oh, hey. And she goes, I'm sorry. I really am a good person. So they break up, finds another guy to kind of mooch off of who's into acro yoga or something. She gets him to pay for her to live in this like commune. Then they break up, and he's still paying for her, and she's, like, bringing guys home to sleep with. So she's killing it. In 2012, these two characters meet Anna and Anthony. Anna and Anthony meet at, obviously, a vegan potluck. They open a yoga studio together. They're doing all kinds of things. They're selling expensive shakes, and they're bringing in speakers, and they're doing all these things. And he goes and gets his... He's still cutting hair and he goes and gets his scissors blessed by a monk. It's June 2017 and they're going to get fancy vegan ice cream and they meet a guy at the ice cream place. He's actually a doctor. His name is Dr. Mark Sowich, and I know I'm saying his last name wrong, but I read it. So I'm saying it how I
That's
say
fine.
It.
Say it how you say it.
It's a very strange friendship that they spark. Where he's like, hey, you guys look like you would know about alkaline water. And they're like, in fact, we know a ton. So they have what sounds to me to be the world's most boring conversation. Like, it's got to be fake.
Itself. It writes itself.
Somehow they become friends with this guy who's a rich doctor, and they move in with him. Like, that week. They meet in an ice cream place. They move in that week. The doctor's like, this couple's amazing. They're my best friends. And they're like, we think we have a lot to offer you. We think we can create a feeling of health and wellness for you in your life. I think they're trying to be personal wellness directors
gurus
for him.
Yes.
But they also obviously see quite an opportunity here. The doctor has had a very successful career, famous clients. He's a genius, but he's also got mental health issues. He's been divorced twice. He's sort of estranged from his family. They don't really go into that a lot, but I know he has a mom, he has a sister, but they live in Florida. He's a super genius in his field. And when they talk about what he's into, he's obsessed with patterns and data. And he loves weather, sneakers, and jazz trios. And you're like, that's very specific. He has had breaks in his reality happen. He has had people called to the house and he has been naked and saying that he's God. He has had people called to the house for wellness checks before and he's presented with injuries and burns. Apparently, he's been treated for bipolar disorder and one of the psychiatrists described him as, quote, grossly psychotic. So he's not doing very well. He's living in Malibu in this house, and now he invites these two people that know about alkaline water, who he met at an ice cream parlor, to fucking live with him. It's pretty bizarre. They are inviting their friends over to the house, and their friends are like, what is this place? How do you live here? And they're like, we are wellness curators of this home. We're people designated to help monitor this estate. They're saying like gobbledygook that because what are they doing there? What the fuck are they doing there? But friends coming to see the house will, it reminded me of, I don't know if you saw the Paul Rudd with Will Ferrell show about a therapist that basically moves in with his client and then slowly takes over the client's home.
I never saw it, but
it feels a lot like that. It feels like these people have injected themselves into this person's life under the guise of, we're here to help. We're here. We mean you no harm. In fact, we're here to help you solve all these problems. But really, they're kind of taking over this person's house.
Right.
He's not doing well, the doctor. And on July 4th, he gets arrested. And while he's otherwise incapacitated, Anthony tells the doctor that he needs power of attorney and that it's not permanent, but he's going to need to get funds to bail the doctor out, who's, you know, in jail for assaulting someone. So that is how he gets power of attorney. We do know that later that day he texts a friend, I got control of the beach house. So he's not like,
he's
pretty
bragging to people. It's pretty clear that there was a little ulterior motive happening.
So now they have access to this doctor's money and they are using it. They're using it for whatever you would think. Weird photo shoots of themselves, staying at nice hotels, eating at fancy places. But they are, just so you're clear, there are still like with the doctor all the time. Like the three of them are going out and doing things together as a weird non-sexual throuple.
Which is similar to my relationship to you and your husband.
I think totally, completely. But what's in it for you is the question. For them, they're getting rich at least. So what I think is wild is if you look at it from an outside perspective, they are, I think, delusional enough to think they can help the doctor maybe. They hire all these massage therapists and they want him to get massaged all the time. And they're like really serious about his diet and hiring a private chef and being like he can only eat organic things. I think they can cure mental illness with yoga. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And I'm here to tell you, while exercise does help, I think this person might need some more assistance than just like someone who's hawking smoothies and teaching you Shavasana.
Well, as far as medicine, what would you think they believe in?
They do not like Western medicine at all.
So they're taking him to get ketamine infusions.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're giving him different kinds of mushrooms all the time. And they're giving him LSD. And they're like, we're going to cure you.
This is very sad to see someone who is of, who's being conned. And maybe, and to your point, they might believe the shit
they might
that
believe
spewing.
The shit they're hawking. It's true. It's hard for me to tell. Mm-hmm. Or at least they have like this feeling of this is, they're being able to tell themselves this is fair that we like have his money in his house because
look how much we're helping him.
And people remember, their friends remember from this time, they'd be like, do you want to go do this fun social thing? And they'd be like, we can't. We have to take the doctor to an appointment. We have to get the doctor to the beach to do this walk that we do with him. Whatever it is, they do take their, quote, responsibility seriously, mm-hmm. But they're idiots.
Yes.
So it's
yes.
They know that they need control. So they're saying in terms of the Western medicine, it's like they don't want him getting any treatments unless they're witness to it or with him. They don't leave him alone is how it feels. They even install CCTV in the house so that they can watch him when they're not there, which I think they say to the massage therapist they're hiring, that this is for safety. And if he's ever talking nonsense when you get here, that's normal. He just has like these breaks in reality. Don't engage with it too much, which feels like a very scary job, to be honest. On May 27th, the doctor dies. What happens is that you can see on the CCTV footage that he's acting very strangely and that he then goes behind a couch and doesn't emerge from behind the couch. When this happens, Anna and Anthony are staying at a fancy hotel watching it happen on CCTV. They're saying they had to stay at the hotel because they're telling the people that work for them, his behavior's been too erratic, we've had to take space. But they're watching him on camera and they're making sure that the other people are around, like the people that work for him. It feels very alibi to me, like we're not on the grounds, we can't be blamed for this death. They call in the death, so Anthony is the one to call 911, and he says, hi, I do believe that my friend has died in our house. I'm not there at the location.
In our house.
You'll probably be there before me. The door is unlocked. They go, they get the doctor who has died, they perform an autopsy, there's ketamine in his system, there's alcohol in his system, and so then, of course, his two besties are like, we have to put together this funeral. And they put together a funeral and they're there, they're crying. Oh my God, our best friend, this is so sad. And then in this article that Justine Harmon wrote, she outlines the funds they spend that day. And I have to just read it verbatim because it's shocking to me. They spent over $7,000 at Ted Baker, $290 at Erewhon, the fancy grocery store,
$290 at Erewhon? That feels low.
I know,
low,
right?
For Erewhon,
they probably
actually
just got sandwiches, like an avocado juice. They spent $220 at Tory Burch, $992 at Coach, $2,477 at Apple, and they eat at Nobu. That is the day that the funeral is.
Who the fuck is shopping like that?
So the mom and sister are trying to figure out all the debts that have been left behind because he just like stopped going to his practice, yeah, of course, and like left payments that had to do with his offices, all these things. So they're trying to tie everything up and they're noticing that there's these weird creditors' claims for $1 million each that are Anna and Anthony's, and they're like, who are these people? And they're like, we were the caretakers and we're owed a third of this estate. And we're also, we want the beach house. And so the mom's like, who the fuck are you? And she files a civil suit against them, also saying these people were, frauding my son. The FBI has to know. This is a lot of money, and these people were frauds. So when the FBI is looking into it, they're like, wow, they opened all these bank accounts. They opened a bank account in South Dakota and transferred when they became, what do you call it?
when they became a right of attorney?
Yes, they transferred a bunch of money. So finally, it takes till 2018 and a judge freezes the bank accounts. So they still, though, have a bunch of money and they're living still in the beach house. They've stolen $2.7 million at this point. They move to Mexico. It's now the pandemic. And they're living in Mexico. They're making TikTok videos. He's doing haircuts again. And he's charging $100 and you get a mezcal and a haircut again. They get a little dog. They name it Sebastian Von Fluff. I don't know. They're still just being themselves.
Jesus.
They get GoFundMe. They get a GoFundMe.
No, they don't.
Yeah, to raise money for their lawyers because they're fucking in trouble for doing this. And then I think the stress of them being such assholes breaks them up. So if you go on like justice.gov site to look at what happens in the case, they outline it in a way that everything I just said without the fluff. And it's so damning. It says, within days of meeting the victim, they moved into his home rent-free and slowly took control of his life by pretending to be his friends. And that in September of 2017 to May of 2018, they diverted his funds to their own bank accounts. They isolated him from family and friends, and they gave him tons of drugs. In the final days of his life, they gave him LSD, which totally set him off his rocker.
Yeah.
And that while he was on LSD, Anthony took the two-step authentication feature in his online brokerage account and changed it so that he would be the only one that could access those funds. And then, without the doctor knowing, without the doctor consenting, he started these million-dollar wires from that brokerage account to his power of attorney funds so he'd have a bunch of money. Then they left him alone in his house while he's on LSD, and they watched remotely from a fancy hotel while he got worse, and didn't call for help until he was dead. The doctor is dead. He's 57 years old. Super preventable. So Anthony ends up pleading guilty to 9 felonies.
That is so fucking evil. I just can't even. How do you? And I might be coming in hot because of some personal situations I'm dealing with. But it's like the idea. There's this idea that you make one decision. You make one, like, lie. You cross the line once. And then it absolutely snowballs into just blatant criminal activity. I just don't know how you could justify any of that behavior to yourself. Like, what gymnastics of morals do you have to jump through to get to land in a, this isn't a crime. I'm not stealing and murdering a man.
Mm-hmm.
Sick.
It's so, they're just these opportunists that came upon this person at an ice cream store and were like, you're rich, great, let's see your house. It's so like, and then just like, how can we have what you have? You seem unwell. This is a really good inn. It's so sad.
It's a cult of personality. It's like these two, they tried to build a cult, whether it was their yoga studio, whether it was their juice business, like they were trying to be a wellness. And when they couldn't convince many to follow, all they needed to convince was one.
Mm-hmm.
And this was
the cult of one. Absolutely. They just needed one follower.
They just needed one.
And he was mentally ill enough and alone enough that he was the perfect victim. It's so sad.
It's so disgusting.
And parading it as like, we care about you. We're your best friends. Ugh.
It's so sick because, again, I'm always humbled by these stories of cult, whether it be of many or of one, which is to say, there, if someone gets you at the wrong time and they are the answer to your questions, that you'll believe them. And this person was incredibly intelligent and had enough distrust in some, you know, maybe some doctors, like this person clearly didn't trust
one path of healthcare.
I think he just felt cared for. Like, I think that what appealed to him was just that these two young, attractive people were like, we want to be with you all the time and be your friends, and we're going to make you better because we're going to take you on beach walks and make sure that you're, like, having celery juice all the time and that you're going to be fine. Ugh. So he pleads guilty. Anthony pleads guilty to 9 felonies. Anna pleads guilty to 7. She got more than 90 months in prison, which is more than twice what the prosecutors had requested. So I think that they were happy with that. He got more than 15 years, like more than 188 months. He seemed a little bit more like the head of the ship. Definitely she wasn't innocent, but I think the actions in terms of the monetary stuff was like he was behind the wheel. So that's probably why he got, I think, double what she got. They've also been ordered to pay $1 million in restitution. And this article, you guys should read it in The Cut. It's, I think it was called The Parasites of Malibu. And it's really well written and has a lot more detail than what I went into. And Justine Harmon, what a good writer. And what a wild story. And so that's upsetting, insane. So dark. And this death, so preventable. Just don't walk around pretending to be a doctor.
Okay, I got this information from the American Council on Science and Health, National Library of Medicine, ResearchGate, which I don't know what that is.
I like the name of that.
And Croatian Medical Journal.
Ooh.
It is September 11th, 2002. It is 12:15 in the morning, and the police in Split, Croatia, receive a call from a diving party.
I've been to Split.
I have not. I'm dying to go. Although, gorgeous. That's a really bad choice of word, because the police get called in Split, Croatia, and there is a group of divers in the middle of the bay, and one of them is missing. Let's flash back to September 10th, around 9:15 in the evening. A group of cave divers are out in Croatia. They are visiting a cave in the Poganica Bay. It's the southern part of an island of Solta in the Croatian Middle Adriatic. So at this point, I believe I was a little bit unclear, but essentially there's crew on the boat and there's a bunch of divers. So at this point, 5 divers are in the cave. Now the cave itself, let me try to explain it. It feels like it looks 2 lungs, where you go down into the cave. If you look to the left, there's like a shallow version of the cave. It's like a separate little compartment. If you go back into this like chimney, it goes all the way down and it goes into another deeper section, so the deeper cave. And so these divers, they go off in piecemeal. They don't all go out together, but they're all exploring the same cave. So 4 go out, and then this guy, who I will call MK, he gets out. They're exploring, they're diving. Some of the group goes, and they see this sort of like chimney going down to the deeper area, and they're like, this feels dangerous and too deep. Let's not go there. So they come back. They're like swimming in the lighter part, or the shallower part of the cave, and they decide to go back. Because they're running low on air and they have to make their way back to the boat. So they return to the boat and they get on and they realize there are 4 of them that have returned, but one of them is missing, this MK. In an article, by the way, he's referred to as MK. He's a 31-year-old guy from the Czech Republic. He is a cook. He's in pretty good and physical. He's in pretty good physical and mental condition, but he doesn't have a ton of diving experience. He has basic diving experience, but for a cave dive, he's pretty inexperienced. What's also interesting is, again, this cave dive is late at night. Like I said, it's 9:15 in the evening. He consumed alcohol at dinner, apparently not an excessive amount, but when you look at it, like, he will later have a blood alcohol level of like 0.114, which is pretty fucking high.
That doesn't make sense. It's a lot.
That's a lot. But I also wonder if some of it is the oxygenation of his blood. Like,
oh, okay.
There, I don't know.
I don't know how that works either.
We have, like, it's a little bit confusing. The best source I got was the Croatian Medical Journal on this. So the rest of the group, like 2 of the guys who are more experienced, decide to go in and start looking for him in the cave. And they look through the shallow cave. He's not there. They look closer to the deep cave, but they realize it's too late, or they're running, not too late, but it's, they're running low on air, so they have to go back. And at that point, they're like, okay, we do need to call for help. So they call for help, and it's not looking good. I mean, it's been like 3 hours since the diving began. And so at this time, like, it's not good. And I think it's important to note that cave diving is not an activity void of risk. You know what I mean? There's like a lot of things that could happen, as we've talked about. And what's crazy is we've talked about like cave diving. I covered the case of Floyd Collins, and you've covered that case like of people. What do they call? Is it just cave
spelunking?
Diving? Spelunking. Thank you.
Well, when it's on land, it's
when spelunking. It's on land, it's spelunking. So water, obviously, you only have a certain amount of oxygen left. The police come, and two police divers go into the water, right? Two divers have the buddy line, and they disappear into the cave. Now, they're looking through all these crevices trying to find their way down. What's crazy is that one of the divers lost oxygen and disappears, and this other diver, the other police diver, realizes he's running out of oxygen, and he has to come back. And he came back with his air source nearly empty, and he ends up getting really sick from decompression sickness.
Mm-hmm.
So now this cave has claimed two people, and the next day they're able to extricate the two bodies from the caves. They find the police diver at 24 meters in the shallow cave, so that's like, I'm going to say roughly a little less than 100 feet. But they find MK, the initial diver, at the bottom of the undersea deeper cave, and his body is found 54 meters, which is about 177 feet down. What makes this case very interesting is MK's body, when they find it, has a knife lodged in his chest. The knife,
was he diving with the knife?
He was diving with the knife.
Yeah, so he did it.
So yeah, that's, I mean, but they have to figure that out, right? So before they know that these bodies have been discovered, they ask all of the divers who are on there to take a polygraph test, of which they all agreed to do so. All but two of them passed, and the two that did not pass were with him at the time of his death. Now, again, before polygraph testing, they did not know that the bodies had been recovered, so they didn't know about knife or blood. And what happened was, is that two crew members that did not, quote, pass the polygraph test reacted to the word knife and blood and were taken into custody. No formal charges were pressed, but initially they were like, oh, they know something, you know, they were right. Arrested. They also were able to see there was like a smudge of red that kind of looked like blood on the boat. And so what investigators thought was, hey, maybe someone stabbed him and took him down.
What's the motive?
There's no motive. And what's crazy about it is that they're like, well, he wouldn't have been able to clear his nose if he had been stabbed on the way down. And when they found him, which clearing your nose is just making sure that you can, like, it prevents injury. I don't know. You've scuba dived. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's just adjusting to the depth.
Exactly. So there's a lot of things that can happen, obviously, when you're cave diving. One thing is you're too deep and you realize you don't have enough air, and by the time you realize it, it is too late. Another way is you experience nitrogen narcosis, which is basically like drunk diving. And this is also, let's be clear, he also had some blood alcohol level pretty high. But the symptoms usually occur around 100 feet when your tissues absorb increasing amounts of nitrogen. And the deeper you dive, it can give you a feeling of euphoria, like drunkenness, which can give you impaired judgment. And so some people found divers may have a lack of like control in these moments, which will prompt them to react irrationally, like dwindling their air supply. So the question is, was this guy murdered? So they're able to take a look at his dive computer, which was stored when he made the dive. So they're able to see sort of his depths and whereabouts in this moment. And they think at one point during the dive into the deeper cave, he might have popped up to an air pocket. Now, that exists in the ocean. There's like an air pocket.
I don't know about that.
That surprised me. But they might have, like, he popped up and might have had a moment of like being in an air pocket. And they also were able to, So maybe that's where he made the decision that he wasn't going to make it and stabbed himself. What is crazy to me about the stabbing yourself, and again, I don't know if this is totally true, but it feels like whenever we talk about Romeo and Juliet stabs herself with the knife, every person, and we've talked about this even in the case of the woman who had a split personality and was hurting herself.
Ruth, yeah.
Ruth. The idea of stabbing yourself in your body, there is so much about you that you cannot do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so my question is for this man, because the knife went fully in 11 centimeters and the knife was from his kit. How can he do that?
Well, I think that must have to do with the oxygen to the brain stuff. It's like he's operating almost through psychosis.
Totally. But also, I'm thinking about even in the water, like, to stab yourself, it would be like slow motion.
Totally. Yeah, so that's maybe crazy, like, to think about. In the
air pocket, there's so many things. But also, if there was an air pocket, why didn't he sit there? I don't know.
I don't know how any of this works. Yeah. So my main question is just, like, why are they cave diving and everyone's running out of air? Like, who did the calculations to figure out they could do this dive? And that's the criminal. Like,
totally. None of that.
You never surface with, like, all my air's out. You surface and you have plenty of air left. Like, when you're planning a dive, you don't plan it around.
I wonder if they didn't know how deep it was. I wonder if they thought they had this, like, first area of the dive attributed, this, like, smaller cave, and then the deeper through the chimney, they just got dislodged and they didn't know that existed. I don't know totally how that works. I'm going to tell you right now, it makes me not want to cave dive.
Oh, there. I would never.
I said it. I would never.
I mean, I have, but I didn't want to, and I was pressured.
By your mom?
No, we were in Thailand, actually, and there was a very weird dive. There was, like, a German dive captain that was very mean, and he would just declare that we were doing things, and you felt uncomfortable saying no, because if you said no, it meant all the divers on the boat couldn't go, or I guess I could have stayed behind on the boat, but it was this, you know, we'd paid, and then he'd be like, we're actually above this cool cave system and we're gonna go in and see this, and you'd be like,
I hate that because I've been in those situations where your body feels uncomfortable. Like when I was on the back of a motorcycle, and that's the way I can compare it, because that was like the most recent and profound feeling I had, which was, I don't want to be here, but I feel like I'm being goaded into being here. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit of that energy of, like, my body feels so uncomfortable.
You're going against what you feel is safe. Yeah. I didn't
it's
like it.
It's just the horror.
I liked it, I think. I think he enjoyed himself, but I was like, I hate this and I want out.
Yeah. And you're also like, you can't communicate. You're with, like, herd mentality. And then, I don't know if you feel this way, you spend the whole time talking yourself down.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Oh, it's not enjoyable.
It's a horrible feeling. And you just go, it's almost done. Just breathe. You're going to be okay. Like, you just have to convince yourself. It's just the worst fucking feeling. So they start investigating this as well, because they have to rule out homicide, because this guy has a knife stuck in him.
Yeah.
And so they realize that his scuba gear is in perfect condition. And it's like, if someone wanted to hurt him, they would just need to tamper with his scuba gear. There's no defensive wounds on his body. So if someone were to attack him, again, it was his own knife. Again, it was his own knife. They were able to, like, test the stain on the boat, and it turns out it was paint. It was not blood. So they did come to the conclusion that it was, in fact, a suicide to avoid the feeling of drowning. And what's interesting is, in the Croatian medical journal, where they have the autopsy notes and all this stuff in it, it was very interesting, because this happened September 11th, 2002, obviously, so after the attacks on the World Trade Center, and it even used that as reasoning why someone would avoid drowning by hurting themselves in another way, of like, you would jump off a building to avoid a fire. So that was what was interesting within the autopsy of it. But there's been some people within the diving community that have said it is not possible he did this to himself, specifically Croatian military divers
who reviewed the case and rejected the possibility of suicide because stabbing yourself in the chest is very difficult. Also, the argument that he had the presence of mind to calculate how much air he had left and made the choice of suicide over drowning, like to make that calculation takes time and it goes against everything you're trained, which is keep going, keep going. The idea of someone like giving up felt pretty rare to them and enough to be like, this wasn't a suicide. They're also like, maybe it just didn't happen. The case of this is the first report of suicide by diving, which again, I don't think is necessarily true. I think what's interesting is it's suicide by a knife wound versus just diving in general, because there are some cases of people who might be dealing with like a terminal diagnosis that goes down and they run out of air intentionally, but they don't, I mean, but again, it's like, it could be deemed an accident. It's not necessarily suicide, but this one of not going with the air and going with the knife. But it sounds like this person was inexperienced, should not have been out there. There was not proper calculations. And what's heartbreaking is this police diver who also died, who was found in the smaller case. It's like there were two lives that were lost in this. That's just horribly traumatic and totally senseless, because I just don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why. But it's very, every time I feel these stories, my body feels so physically uncomfortable at the idea of running out of air and of being in a space where you can't make that decision. But just the idea of, he stabbed himself.
Like, I do get it. I think it's probably, yeah, I think it's the same. It's jumping from a burning building. It's like a last power grab in a hopeless moment.
Yeah.
Of
it's,
like,
it's showing and like, control I'm, where there's none.
I'm so afraid and I just want to not feel afraid. And I'm going to die either way. I'd rather just stop feeling this very, very scary feeling. It's very sad.
Ugh. Anyway, so that's the story of the Croatian diver who was found with a knife.
Well, ugh. I recommend going a split despite this. It's a very cool city. And I'm really sad for that diver.
I want to give a little teaser. There was a story I wanted to tell you, and it involves the Apple Store and a long-lost cousin. So I'm going to try to remember that. I'm saying it out loud so I remember when we record next time.
Okay. There's your teaser, folks. Is that enough to come back?
Is that enough? Lonely. You will be the judge.
See you next time on Truly.
Darkly. Queen.
Bye, dear readers.
Deeply.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.